Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be bringing you the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. Today we're looking to America and considering whether the almost fabled US consumer is the force it once was. This week, perhaps more than at any other time of the year, the US consumer is in the spotlight, what with Thanksgiving and then so-called Black Friday promising what retailers, at least, hope will be an orgy of spending. Against that backdrop, we asked our analysts for their view. We start with Mike Ryan, UBS Chief Investment Strategist for Wealth Management Americas and Regional CIO for the US. We asked him, is the US consumer still a force to be reckoned with?
The short answer to that is no. I think what we've seen is we're going through this period of transformation in terms of the role the consumer plays in the U.S. economy and also the role that the U.S. economy plays in the world. So the short answer to that is no. However, there's still an important player in terms of driving global growth and also obviously the most important driver in terms of driving U.S. growth.
Thomas Berner, UBS Chief U.S. Economist at Wealth Management Research, stresses the continuing impact of the 2008 crisis.
Relative to the pre-crisis trend, I think we definitely have to take into account that the growth that we can expect from U.S. households is going to be more moderate. The first reason is that, well, labor market income growth hasn't been as strong. As you know, employment growth has been quite sluggish compared to past recoveries. Second, you just don't get as much credit creation that you did get before. You had, you know, very severe credit crisis, as you know. It was affecting households not only through mortgages, but also through financials, which started tightening their lending standards and were just not lending and are still not lending as freely as before. So you have a supply side and a demand side issue in terms of credit flow to households. So I think these two main factors are affecting the trend growth rate of the potential that we can expect from consumers.
Kevin Allison, columnist at Reuters Breaking Views, has this thought from Chicago.
The U.S. consumer is greatly diminished from the consumer that presented itself in the 2000s. Since the financial crisis, the consumer's really never quite come back. There are some exceptions, so people at the very high end of the income scale have had mostly a great crisis and continue to run away with most of the economic gains of the recovery. And so luxury goods, for example, have had a great few years. But in the main, the kind of average middle-class consumer is still pinching pennies and still very hard hit by the after effects of the financial crisis. It's been recovering slowly, but the recovery hasn't been great. And so for several years now, retailers have really been struggling to make this final push into the holiday season pay off.
So how effective are the strategies that retailers have been deploying? And what is the impact of supposed sales day bonanzas like Black Friday and Cyber Monday? Bloomberg's Neera Chahit shares her expectations.
It's the National Retail Federation over in the US that sort of makes these kind of estimates. It expected 25.6 million Americans to hit stores or shop online yesterday because it's no longer just Black Friday. It's kind of becoming Black November, starting even earlier. That's about 8% of the population. Now, millions more are expected to shop over this weekend, bringing the total to 140 million people, this according to the National Retail Federation. That is more than 40%. Of the US population. Now, that's about the same number as last year, but of course, Black Friday or thereabouts kicks off the holiday season, and the NRF is forecasting that this will be the best holiday season in 3 years. And that's because of falling unemployment, because of rising wages, but also because of lower gasoline prices.
In New York, very much on the retail front line this past week, was Elizabeth Payton, fashion and luxury correspondent at the Financial Times. She explains why she thinks consumers might be feeling better and tells us about some of the challenges retailers may yet have to contend with.
Part of the reason people are feeling more optimistic about this year is that US consumer sentiment is at its highest level in more than 7 years, boosted by things like lower petrol prices, improving job prospects, and an estimated 140 million shoppers are expected in malls and online over the next 4 days. You know, it's a national sport here, hunting for wild door-busting deals. It's become as much of a part of the Thanksgiving tradition as sitting down for a turkey dinner for some families. The longer shopping period is putting more and more pressure on retailers. They're all fighting against one another. They're still slashing prices. And this is going to weigh heavily on their margins if consumers decide to, say, hold off up until Christmas, waiting for a better deal.
Elizabeth Payton in New York. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look in more detail at Black Friday and we'll consider the potential role played by consumer debt in the US. Mike Ryan sums up the critical nature of the holiday period in the US for consumers and retailers alike. Although, as he points out, the market is changing in a number of significant ways.
There's no question that the period that really goes from just before Thanksgiving to through Christmas is the most important part of the year from a retailer's perspective. And obviously because we have an increased spending patterns because of gift giving, the holiday season. So there's no question that this is absolutely the most critical period of the year. I would say that the whole quote-unquote Black Friday, it's important more to the brick-and-mortar retailers than it is to, say, the online retailers, because it typically is kind of the start of the kickoff of the season, so you tend to get this big push, and you have lots of specials, and you have promotional campaigns that get driven right around that time. But what we're seeing is that more and more, in terms of the way individuals consume and the way they participate in retailing, more and more of it's coming online now. So the notion that you're going to stand online at 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday, waiting for the store to open to get that the toaster oven or to get the iPad, I'm not sure that plays out quite the same way because more and more people are simply shopping online.
Kevin Allison also stresses the importance of this period from a retail viewpoint and, again, flags the online battlefield as an increasingly vital piece of territory.
The holiday season is the most important season of the retail year, and for many retailers, the momentum that they gain from having a successful Black Friday like the one just passed is going to be crucial for their financial performance, for their ability to kind of continue to generate buzz. And so retailers pour huge marketing resources into these Friday efforts. They put huge markdowns on things like big screen televisions to try to get customers into the store and clear all the inventory that they've bought up for the holiday season. So it's very important. It's getting more important, I think, as retailers fight more fiercely with each other and with online retailers like Amazon for those customers. It's a very difficult fight, and the result is that for consumers, you're getting some excellent deals.
A good deal for consumers, then. But what can all this tell us about the real nature of consumption? Thomas Berner expands on how this fits into the bigger picture.
I think one way of thinking about it, and this is the way I try to track consumption, I forecast it that way as well, is what are the drivers of consumption? And you have, obviously, asset growth. So for the people that have wealth, be it equity, housing, or whatever asset they own, how are those assets growing over time, what we typically call wealth effects? Then you have income from those assets. You know, what are the dividend payments and coupon payments you're getting out of these assets? And then you always obviously have disposable income, which is mainly driven by wages and salaries. So how are the labor markets, how strong is the labor market, and how much wage and salary growth are you getting out of the labor market? And all of these three have actually continued to improve over the past couple of years. Especially if you think about disposable income, at the beginning of last year, so January 2013, we had an increase in personal taxes. It took the consumer a few quarters to absorb that increase in taxes. We didn't have that this year, so this year disposable income growth has actually grown more quickly and at a more rapid pace than last year. And we don't expect any tax increases anytime soon, at least not on the personal side. So you have a combination of continuous strength in asset values, be it equity markets, housing has continued to come up, etc. You continue to see income flows from these assets, and you have stronger disposable income. And then finally, what also matters for consumption growth is consumer credit, right? I mean, how easy is it to get a credit card accepted? How easy is it to get an installment loan for maybe buying a car? How easy is it to get a mortgage? And how high or low are the rates? And also here, you've seen growth in consumer credit accelerate over the past few years, especially over the past few quarters. So all of the drivers of consumptions are coming together to support consumption. And that's why I think that the consumer growth trend is going to accelerate, go from around a 2.2 to a 3% soon.
And we'll be considering consumer debt in a little more detail next. So what is the status of US consumer debt? Thomas Berner takes up the story.
Well, I think on an aggregate basis, the U.S. households have delevered quite substantially. If you look at household debt divided by GDP or by their disposable income, we've gone to reach a level now that is pretty much similar to what we had in the early 2000s. So we've actually backtracked on about 14 years here. You know, compared to the average of the entire history, it's still elevated. But you're seeing that the debt to GDP ratio, the household debt to GDP ratio, is starting to stabilize. And so That's obviously very good news. I think households are not going to re-engage in a leveraging cycle as strong as they did before the last crisis, before the 2008 crisis. A lot of households are still suffering from those excesses, especially if you think about there's still about 10 million households that are underwater with their mortgage. It used to be much more, about 25 million. But you still have households that are struggling with keeping their credit scores high, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't expect a very strong re-leveraging cycle anytime soon. But I do expect at least a moderate releveraging cycle on aggregate across all households. And obviously, what also matters, you know, as we pointed out before, especially for the medium to low income families that cannot very easily access credit at this point, once we see labor market income growth accelerate further, employment growth accelerate further, which is part of our base case, these households are also going to be participating a little bit more in the overall spending.
And here's Kevin Allison's view.
I think the debt is one of two factors that is really holding consumers back. Now, people, families, households have all been doing what economists call deleveraging since the financial crisis. That is, trying and making some progress in digging out under huge amounts of debt, whether it was mortgage debt or credit cards that they accumulated back in the 2000s when credit was flowing easily and the idea was to buy everything on credit, no problem. People ended up buried under a lot of debt after that, and they've been digging their way out, but the situation still isn't great. So there's still millions of American homeowners who are underwater on their mortgages to the extent that the government's been talking about trying to get some mortgage relief for those people, but it hasn't come yet. And I think that that, along with the fact that middle-class wages have been absolutely stagnant or even declining in real terms, they combine to really mean that consumers just can't spend like they could in the days of the credit boom. We live in fundamentally more constrained times, and I think that's a kind of dark and troubling undercurrent facing all retailers, not just in the United States, but in other developed countries where this kind of debt dynamic had taken hold during the boom years.
So how well will this absolutely vital period go this year?
What's tougher for the retailers spells good news for the improving spirits of the US consumer. After the year that we've had, the whole world is relying on US consumers for demand. You know, China is slowing down, the Eurozone is struggling, commodity exporters are being forced to retrench, and the US consumers are shouldering the burden. Now, arguably, they appear in a better position than ever to do so. You know, tumbling petrol prices, rising employment, wages are getting better, and lots of households are finally getting a handle on their debts, too. So it's important to remember that despite the fact it's a tough environment still, that things aren't completely rosy, the US is still by far and away the biggest consumer market in the world. Going into 2015, I don't think this is likely to change, although there are still things like slowing house prices, which are a concern. But no, overall, best season for 3 years, and it'll be interesting to see how the next few weeks unfold.
Elizabeth Payton. And Kevin Allison agrees that it could be a good story as we head into 2015. But for individual retailers, it could be a pretty worrying time.
This holiday season, I feel, will be perhaps collectively slightly better than it has been in the past couple of years, not least because you've got the tailwind now of lower gas prices than you've had for a long time, thanks to the fall in the oil price. But while I think it might be collectively a little bit better heading into 2015, I think that individually it could be quite awful for retailers. And again, this is the result of the competition that they're being forced into because of the Amazon effect and because of changes in shoppers' buying habits. I suspect that sales will be up overall, maybe a little bit stronger than last year during the holidays, but I feel like they'll be competing so much harder for those dollars that consumers are willing to spend that for individual retailers, there will be some big winners and some really bad losers.
As always, we close the show with a client view. Here to wrap things up for us is Mike Ryan.
The U.S. is still the largest and most important economy in the world, and the consumer is still the driver of that economy. So understanding where the consumer is in terms of their re-engagement process, what we're looking for in terms of their buying patterns, what type of purchases they're making, that's all critically important in terms of where we think the opportunities will come. So there's no question that this continues to play an important role for us, and that's why we look a lot at issues about what's driving the consumer. For example, household wealth. As we've seen equity markets improve, as we've seen real estate rebound, that's put consumers in a better frame of mind. And typically what we see is when consumers are in a better frame of mind, they're more willing to go out and spend money and also more willing to borrow.
And describing the sector strategy at UBS, here's Thomas Berner again.
A month ago, we increased our consumer discretionary sector to an overweight. So consumer discretionary has actually done fairly well. It actually, you know, went ahead of most of the sectors going into this year. So we pared it down to neutral. But now that valuations have readjusted a little bit, and we think that the consumer is really going to accelerate its pace of spending, we've increased the weight again to an overweight. So of all the sectors that we analyzed, the 10 main sectors and the S&P 500, it's one of our overweights right now, specifically because of the fairly positive outlook for the consumer.
And that brings us to the end of this 8th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or via iTunes or SoundCloud. Don't forget to tune in at the same time next week when, among other things, we will be in Miami for Art Basel Miami Beach. We'll take a look around an exhibition of seminal works from the UBS collection. Don't miss it. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.